Technorama episode 359 for November 7th. Let's do that again. Technorama episode 359 for November 7th, 2012. 10 kilometers up and ready to jump.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Would someone get these birds out of here? Where'd they come from, anyway?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for November 7th, 2012. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Man, I couldn't be better.
I think you could.
Really?
Money does wonders.
I set my bar too low for you.
Aim low, that way you'll never be disappointed.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Did you know, so do you hear this music in the background?
Yeah, I've heard it several times.
Did you notice that since Slice of Sci-Fi came back about a month ago, they've been using the same music?
They can't do that.
I think it's branded. What's even doubly funny is that Mike Menengay made that intro for us and gave us all those digital juice clips.
We need to have a powwow with him.
I think I forgot.
Well, I always thought he listened to this show pretty heavy. I guess not.
I was going
to
say, yeah, he's a regular listener, right? Otherwise, he'd know that.
I'm going to get my attorney to send him a letter, a cease and desist.
An attorney? on licensed free music.
I'm going to send him a cease and desist email.
Let's get going because we got a lot of stuff coming up in this episode. We have, look, up in the sky, it's coming straight toward us. Start the countdown to the magnetic flip and Asimov to come out with 3 more laws of robotics in 2015. None of that more coming right up.
George Lucas is not affiliated with that.
Look, it's Dean Haglund.
What's going on?
The adult show will be on at 11:30.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm getting drunk with all the engineers from Apple.
I thought I was just wasting my time going off.
They all kind of converge on me and kill me, and everybody's happy. How awesome is that?
That is cool. I love the Apple drunk stories.
I'm thinking,
what? This is horrible. You know, my friends that work over JPL said that exact same thing.
They didn't understand a word.
grosser than the Peacock Brothers. You're not thinking that? Huh?
That freaked me out.
We hate you. I'm a dick.
Is that a stretch for you?
What are the challenges with that role?
Why don't you tell me that, guys? How am I coming across here? Complete idiot. Wow, this is really entertaining.
Every week we do this show live on Google Plus. We want to see you on our hangout on Google Plus. Hey, look, there's a VU meter at the top. I never noticed that. I knew the one at the bottom when you're talking.
You just now seeing that?
Yeah. Up where it says the title, Technorama Ep 359, 10 kilometers up and ready to jump, and the little dots are moving.
Yep, they're flexing.
That's cool. That's really cool. They've changed the layout, so I was hunting around for things like, where do I change my camera?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It just took a second.
Yeah, things that the chat room's now on the other side. It's kind of like when you jump into somebody else's car.
The hangout's window is much better. I think
that's
now.
Clean.
Yeah.
Join us on our hangout 9:30 Eastern time. Don't forget we changed our clocks too, so it's still going to be 9:30 Eastern. So, whatever part of the world that is, and what does that make Phoenix now on Mountain Time again?
I don't know. How does that work?
But they were on Pacific. Actually, they don't change. We do, which is kind of kooky, but I want to live in Phoenix. But then the rest of the world, you have to adjust. Anyway.
Well, if you had a time machine, then it wouldn't matter.
To the TARDIS. It's pronto. Yeah. Every week we do this show, we want to see you there. Chat room, live chat room, we got people, they're having a party, they're over there just having a good old time. Looking at our birthday calendar, we have a birthday calendar that has an indentation problem here, but quickly rectify that, will you? On November 8th, we have Mark, the encaffeinated one from The Weird Show. He's got to be like 30 now or something, right?
30.
We have also on November 8th, On the Drift. I take it that's a pseudonym for something, but I'm not sure. John Noble, spelled L-E Noble, not the one from Fringe. We do this every year, from The Island.
Yeah, The Island.
November 13th has two birthdays. Pippa from London, UK. Not London. What's the other London? Like Indiana or something?
California. No, Texas. There is a Paris, Texas.
There's a Lebanon, Illinois, or Indiana or something, too. Oh, we could go on for that all day. Also on the 13th is Jennifer Therrien from Canada. We have an international birthday list this week.
Wow. You're not kidding. It looks like almost everybody's outside of the country. I don't know about.
That means we're the outsiders if it's a majority.
Wow.
Happy birthday to all of you. And if you're not on the birthday calendar and it happens to be your birthday, go over to our wiki and put it on there. I notice people are doing that from time to time. We get the regular updates. We want to see your name and shout out to you on your birthday. Happy birthday to all of you. Let us do the history.
Let us. What is it, a salad night for you?
Lettuce. On this day in history for November 7th, 2012, it was on this date in 1492 that the Eisenstein meteorite, the oldest meteorite with a known date of impact, strikes the Earth around noon in a wheat field outside the village of, you guessed it, Eisenstein, Alsace, France.
How do they know when it happened? Were they standing there watching with watches? Who knows? Anyway, also on this date in 1665, the London Gazette, the oldest surviving journal, is first published.
The first air freight shipment from Dayton, Ohio to Columbus, Ohio is undertaken by the Wright brothers. They must have been low on funds and had to start a freight shipment business. Mm. And department store owner Max Morehouse on November 7, 1910.
And on that same date in 1929, in New York City, the Museum of Modern Art opens to the public.
72 years ago today, the original Tacoma Narrows Bridge in Tacoma, Washington collapses in a windstorm a mere 4 months after the bridge's completion.
And WXYZC, I knew I was going to do that. The student radio station of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill provides the first internet radio broadcast on this day in 1994.
Welcome to the internet, everyone.
They were using Real Player at the time.
Shoutcast. And 16 years ago today, NASA launches the Mars Global Surveyor. Happy birthday goes out in the state to Polish chemist and physicist and pioneer of radiation, Marie Curie, born on this date in 1867.
Yep, and it killed her, too. Also born in the state in 1879, Russian revolutionary Leon Trotsky.
Isn't that a... Never mind. Gotta go to the bathroom. I got the Trotskys. American scientist Philip Morrison was born today in 1915. Excuse me.
An American film producer and author, G. Edward Griffin, celebrates his 81st birthday today.
And finally, the actor who played Peter Brady on the Brady Bunch TV show, Christopher Knight, turns 55. And that's
no,
the...
No, he'll always be that 10-year-old, I know.
When it's time to change. And that's the way it was on this day in history for November 7th, 2012.
News and weather, everyone.
You know, I think...
Watch that door.
I think the label says, and the good news keeps on coming. No one will never get the right one I want. Hey, do you know how to speak Huttonese?
Absolutely. Huttese?
The language of Jabba and the other huts? Like
I also know the language of moisture reparators.
Pizza the Hut. In binary, right?
What is this? It's a translator ring?
It's a decoder ring. That's right. You can get... Well, apparently on Amazon, only in size 10, Comes in black or silver, I'm told, for just $14. Only 11 left in stock. The Star Wars Huttese translator ring.
Moshka Banta Pudu.
First, you have to know how to spell in Huttese, because there's like one ring on this ring that slides one way and one goes the other.
And it looks like it has hieroglyphics
right.
on it.
So unless you really, I mean, you could write a message and your friend could decode it. How cool is that?
Yeah, that would be cool.
I am nowhere near a size 10. I don't even think my thumb is a size 10.
Yeah. I could have used one of these in high school.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, passing notes and...
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
See the teacher now. Give me that. What is this? If you had a ring, you could decode it.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. It's a crummy commercial from Jabba the Hutt. Be sure to watch episode 7. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
For a long time on this podcast, if you're a listener of a while ago, we have used the term hurdy brain to indicate when some facts are actually giving us mental stress. Well, now scientists have proved that math anxiety can cause you actual real physical pain. Hurdy brain is a real thing. If you are mathematically challenged, your so-called pain should no longer be vilified. You actually do feel it, at least as you're psyching yourself up to sit in that chair in an exam hall to do it.
You know what? I think you know how when women are pregnant and they have the empathy belt for men?
Yes.
They can kind of feel, you know, the pain of the women as they're going through their pregnancy. I think we need an empathy belt for hurdy brain.
Well, that would be that thing that Doc Brown had on his head in Back to the Future, right? It's kind of like a phobia of mathematics. It can develop from as early as first grade, and you can even be passed down from teachers to students. Sean Belock, a professor of psychology at the University of Chicago, is an expert in this area, and she and Ian Lyons have conducted research into the brain's reaction when math-anxious individuals do maths. This must be a UK article. Their findings were reported in a paper... When math hurts, math anxiety predicts pain network activation in anticipation of doing math. They need a shorter article.
By the way, isn't that a quote from Barbie?
When math hurts. Math is hard. 14 adults. You thought you'd get that by me, didn't you? 14 adults with the math anxiety condition were tested in an fMRI. That's a field magnetic resonance. I had an open field MRI once. While they were given a series of math-related questions, the results showed that as they were preparing to do the math, the posterior insula was activated. This is the region of the brain just above the ear that is associated with registering direct threats and experience of pain. Interesting, this area was not activated as the volunteers were actually doing the math. Oh, it's just the anxiety. They're getting stressed out, and then they get hurdy brain. You didn't think that was real.
That's usually the way it goes. Huh?
When I saw this, I thought it was real. I said, this is Technorama, man. We've been talking about hurdy brain for a long time.
Yeah, we had a listener bring it up, and that's where it started, wasn't it?
Probably. Our listeners are awesome. They bring up everything first.
Yeah.
They gave...
And then when you listen to the show, it brings everything else up.
They gave Lenny a last name.
Yeah, it's true.
One of the funniest shows I ever remember recording. Couldn't stop laughing. I got a choking attack. Speaking of Lenny, we need him on the set. Hey, Lenny! Hacks and Strange Stories! You can go now. Man sues wife for being ugly and wins $120,000.
What? What?
Listen up.
Okay.
Jian Feng divorced his wife after she gave birth to an incredibly, this is a quote, incredibly ugly, unquote, baby. Those are his words. That didn't resemble either one of them, causing him to accuse her of cheating. That's when she admitted to spending $100,000 on plastic surgery to undergo the transformation seen above. She went from kind of homely to kind of supermodel.
Yeah. Overnight.
Now, one could argue that was money well spent. But this is from the article. She had the work done before she met her husband and never told him about it after they met. Mr. Feng filed for divorce, saying his wife had deceived him and convinced him to marry her under false pretenses. The judge agreed and awarded him the damages. Now, he called his baby incredibly ugly.
That's what I don't get, people, man. That's wrong.
Don't you look at pictures together before you get married? Hey, honey, let's look at pictures when you were young. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you meet on the internet, you got to at least see what they look like.
And then you don't call your own child incredibly ugly.
Well,
put him back. He's not done.
When he didn't understand English yet, I guess it didn't matter.
Wow, that's something that'll stick with you. Hey, you know what your dad's first words were when you saw him?
Yeah, look. Yeah, the doctor's like, here's your baby boy. Whoa!
No.
I didn't sign up for this. He's incredibly ugly.
Incredibly ugly. I sense a reality show coming out of this.
Yeah, right.
When kids go bad.
How is this a hack? It's
a strange story. Definitely. We are full of strange stories. We have another one. You remember many moons ago when we talked about the carrier pigeons, right?
Yes, I was carrying a packet back and forth.
We have that wonderful sound clip of, 10 pigeons per minute, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Well, pigeons are among the most naturally gifted navigators in the animal kingdom. And while we've only recently begun to shed light on why this is, humans have been using pigeons' innate homing abilities to our advantage for ages, and often in very unusual ways.
Yes, we're conquering the animals.
From an upcoming episode of PBS's Nova, Science Now, kind of sounds like the company I work for, and the inner workings of the animal mind comes an astounding bit of avicular World War II era trivia. During World War II, the same government agency that developed the atomic bomb, that's to give them credibility, was also secretly planning Project Pigeon. Pigeons were trained to ride inside missiles and guide them by pecking them on a screen. In 1944, the project was canceled in favor of other secret research, radar. The Nova Science Now episode, What Are Animals Thinking?, premieres on November 7th. Learn more over at PBS. Hey, that's the day the show comes out. I am going to set the DVR.
Wow, they had pigeons in missiles?
Yeah. Wow. Pecking at the screen.
That just blows my mind.
Go left. Go right.
Yeah.
Can you see this thing going steering around and then landing in the park?
Yeah. It's like everybody, run over here. No, run over here.
Who's feeding the pigeons?
Oh, boy. Good.
Landed
Lord.
Straight in Gorky Park.
Watching a screen? Wouldn't they have, imagine the size of the camera on the front of the missile? You know, it's not like nowadays they could put like a little, be like.
You know how pigeons fly, man. They circle around, they land on your house, they crap in your gutters, they go to the park. What more could you want out of a missile?
That's pretty amazing.
We also have another pigeon story. Yes, it was a two pigeon story week.
Two pigeons. All right.
Back in 1982. David Martin discovered the remains of a pigeon while renovating his chimney. Sounds kind of gruesome, but it happens, right?
Sure.
Upon closer inspection, he noticed that the dead bird had a red capsule attached to its leg. What has now been confirmed is a top secret message that apparently never got through. That was
so much for the great, navigational skills of the pigeon.
They had to stop and then he gets fumigated from the chimney. It was en route to an unknown location in Britain during World War II. Ignored for three decades, code experts are now trying to decrypt the secret message.
Hey, wait, we're just going to get the machine out of the Computer History Museum.
Took them a while. Yeah. Though rarely discussed, pigeons were widely used during World War II, an old school way to transmit messages. Among the benefits, it allowed the military to send secret information without having to broadcast it live over the radio. What could often be subject to analysis by the enemy, both in terms of content and the measurement of heightened radio activity, an indication of potential military action. And in fact, an astounding number of pigeons were used in this capacity, with an estimates reaching as high as 250,000. Wow. But not all the birds made it to their destinations. Many were shot by snipers who were tasked with this very job. Shoot the birds.
We're hungry.
Some simply died of natural causes. And in the case of military carrier pigeon 40TW194, he still had a band on his leg or something, I guess.
Yeah, there it is. There's a picture of it right there.
His cranium, his feet. That's nice. Oh, it's got the note on there, too. Hey, those are my Google two-factor passwords.
Oopsie.
I wonder so much where those went.
Yeah, so much for decoding
That's what they look like.
Sort of, yeah.
They said, write them down. I saw I wrote them down. The secret messages has now been sent to Britain's top secret GCHQ listening post and decoding department. Must have been important. Preliminary analysis of the code reveals that it was one of two pigeons carrying an identical message. Oh, they had backup. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But like 40TW194, the other pigeon named 37DK76, sounds like the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
37DK76, why aren't you at your post? He also never made it to his destination.
Yeah, I see similarities there.
Their backup plan, is it?
Wait a minute, I can decode this list right here. Hold on a second. I see a pickles, lettuce, tomato,
bread,
mayo,
butter. He wanted a burger.
Wheat bread. Oh, this is a list for some sub sandwiches.
Look, signed his name, 40TW194, on the bottom. Oh, and his friend signed it too, 3070DK76. How nice!
Look, if you look right over here, I can see where my mouse is at. It looks like the bird was wearing a ring as well.
That's his leg band, so they know his name. He's got some nasty burrito grease stains on that receipt too. He's just picking up his laundry.
He was doing the lunch run.
The boys on the front need a sandwich, stat.
Yeah.
So this is Movember, and if you're on the webcam, you can see I'm getting a little scruffy.
Well, you know what? I was gonna join Movember, but you know what? I kind of forgot and shaved.
I forgot to shave, and then, whoa, November's upon us. Good timing. Well, Movember never would have happened in Russia had you been under Peter the Great's reign. Because under the rule of Russian Tsar and notorious beard hater, Peter the Great, because that's what he's known for, is beard hating.
Beard hating.
Which ran from 1682 to 1725, men sporting facial hair were subject to a beard tax that afforded them a token informing strangers that they were honest, tax-paying hairballs. As Eric Jensen explains in a 2003 article, because that's how fast we are with our news, from the journal Tax Notes. For those, this is the quote, for those who elected to forego the foreplay and keep their beards, one of the nice touches of the beard tax was that payment, quote, entitled the owner to a small bronze medallion with a picture of a beard on it and the words tax paid, which was worn on a chain around the neck to prove any challengers that his beard was legal. I have to get.
Well, imagine what the tax would be on like a Wookiee. Whoa, full body.
3,000 rubles. What do you think about a nice beard tax? I think we ought to bring that back if the Democrats are elected again.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me about. I don't know why this popped in my head. Remember in Sherlock, I forget what story it was about the Redheaded League? You know, where they had the Redheaded League? That's what I was thinking of, the Bearded League.
That's terrible, beard tax.
Yeah, come on now.
Movember, unite. We'll take Peter the Great to it. Well, no, he's already dead. Okay. Let's take
Hey, wait a minute. My brother, my son, he shouted out the other day. I don't know where he got this one from, you know, but I've seen it on the internet before. Bad spielers of the world, untie.
Dyslexics.
Spielers.
Dyslexics believing dog.
Yeah.
We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be back with the Media Corner. And yes, we will be discussing the Disney Lucas deal and a few other things. You never know what we've got up our sleeves. Because we'll be right back. Strange units of measure.
This is very bizarre.
Go is 180 millimeters. A pack year is a cigarette consumption based on one pack a day for a year.
Oh, for crying out loud.
A nibble, typically 4 bits of binary code or half a byte.
Now, I knew that one.
Score, that's 20 of something. A hand, 4 inches of horse height.
Now, wait a minute. So you measure a horse in hands. Do you measure a donkey in butts?
No, a donkey is an ass. A TWIP is 1/20th of a typesetting point.
Wow, I didn't know that one.
This is TWIP, this week in podcasting.
Don't forget about a thrave, which is 24 sheaves of wheat.
Bring in the sheaves, bring in the sheaves.
A shake is 10 nanoseconds.
Yeah, that's like when you're going to detox.
Look, they're shaking at this certain 10 nanosecond frequency.
Yeah, whatever.
A Mickey is a ratio of computer mouse movements to on-screen cursor movement.
Knew that one.
A Jansky is a strength of radio signals from space.
Long time ago.
A butt is 2 hogs heads or about 126 gallons of boo.
I didn't know that one either.
And smoot is a measure of length developed by some MIT students equal to 5 feet 7 inches, the height of Oliver R. Smoot.
It'll be over in just a moment.
Hi, this is Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, and you are listening to Technorama because you're in the cool club.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Craig, of course, by now all the good fanboys know that Lucas sold his stuff to Disney for $4 billion.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'm kind of mixed, you know, not enjoying the last 3 movies. I'm like, well, I don't know what's in store now.
Episode 7 is supposed to be out as soon as 2015.
Yeah. So that's what I'm getting at is like, okay, so the last 3 movies weren't so hot and there's been such a backlash from them. I can only imagine that they would go the extra mile to try to make these, you know,
more CGI,
better, more CGI. They need less CGI. So I don't know. And at first I was like, I knew Lucas was wanting to retire and either make small films or get out of film business altogether. So it wasn't a huge surprise when I saw it come up, and I never once thought he sold out. You know, he sold it. You know, I never thought he sold out. And a lot of people were saying that. And what really solidified my not thinking he sold out was what he said he was going to do with the money that he got from the sale, which he was going to invest in, do some philanthropic work with education, with all of it or most of it. So, you know, that's great. And that didn't bug me. I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent with Star Wars right now. Whatever they do with it, I'll probably check it out. You know, I'm not getting my hopes up until I see it, you know?
I think it's got a better chance of success for another trilogy, 7, 8, 9, because there's other parties involved. Disney doesn't want to put out a crappy product. They've been pretty successful in the last decade.
Especially after
you
know what they spent for it.
Yeah. But if you thought, everybody also knows that Disney is notorious for copyright protection, as is Lucas. Protection of his intellectual property. So put those two together, I don't know what you get. I like Mad Marv's response. He says, I've been talking with it to some of my friends, and I've maintained that they owe us an apology movie or 3 to make up for the 3 prequels. What do you think?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm cautiously looking forward to see what they come out with.
You're such a fanboy. You're going to see it even if it's dog poo on a shingle.
Oh, I won't disagree. I'll go and see it and either be pleasantly surprised or go, that's par for the course.
Here we go again.
Yeah. So, but I'm also curious, since now they own, well, here's
they
a plus.
They own Raiders of the Lost Ark. They own Indiana Jones stuff.
Okay, wait a minute. Before I get to that part, you know, along with Lucasfilm comes ILM, right? And then you got Pixar.
Did they buy Disney's ILM? They all, yeah.
Yeah, so you got all that under the same umbrella. I can imagine it. It would be, you know, some really awesome stuff when it comes to CGI.
So Darth Vader's going to be holding an iPhone because he couldn't find the droid he was looking for, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do I get a delayed rim shot on that? Yeah.
But I am looking. Look, I've always maintained that Lucas was good at making a story, because I think the story in the last three movies was good. Execution and the scripting sucked. Those were the two bad parts. The whole thing with the Emperor kind of twisting everybody around till it meets his needs, I thought that was great. But
yeah, that was the best part, was trying to follow the bad guys.
Yeah, so you see what I'm saying? The story was awesome. It's just that, you know, Lucas could not write a love story out of a whale or a paper bag.
You work on that, Craig.
You know what I mean? Let's see.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm interested because I think Disney's got a big stake in it. Hey, and again, they've done good by Marvel so far.
That's true. They've been pretty honest to Marvel.
So I'm curious what they're going to do with Raiders and all that stuff too. I don't know.
I am going to take that Marvel cue and twist it around and flip it on its head and come up with a DC segue. Ha! How's that? Batman. In case you wanted to call Adam West on the phone. All right.
Okay. You sure?
You look up Adam West in the Ketchum, Idaho phone book. I don't know why this is in Idaho, but if you look up West, Adam, you follow across, it says, C, Wayne Bruce, millionaire. So you go to Wayne Bruce, millionaire, and it says, please consult crime fighters in the yellow pages. You go to yellow pages, crime fighters, it says, C, Batman, white pages. You go to Batman, what do you think it says?
C, Adam West.
That's right. Somebody paid for this.
Hey, this is probably Batman's way of obscuring how to contact him.
I only like private callers on my phone.
That's funny.
That is funny. I gotta wonder if this is real or if this is, I mean, it looks like it was scanned out of a phone book. Could be.
Well, look at the bottom. It says Redditor Slapshot in 11. His username lives near TV's. I started to look him up in Ketchum, Idaho phone book. But it's not that easy to track him down. And, of course, you go through the rigmarole we just talked about.
That must be where Adam West really lives.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So, says it's nice to know that even in the digital age, paper phone books can still provide so much amusement.
You know what else is funny? They didn't blur out any of the other numbers.
Yeah.
Oopsie. I'm calling Richard Waycott right now.
Yeah. I'm calling Bruce Wayne. Wait.
And Patricia Battersby, she owns me some money. Hello, is this Miss Charlotte Bauer of 621 North Star Drive?
No.
I'm looking for Batman. He's three lines above you in the phone book. Oh, yes, he lives right next door. Could you tell him I need his phone number?
What, does everybody live in proximity?
No, she's actually
in
Haley. Patricia Battersby is also in Ketchum, as is Roy Batham.
Well, don't call Batman, he'll call you.
Yeah. He'll show up.
Now, also on the movie theme.
Yes.
You saw a recent new movie.
Yes.
Do tell.
And I took Harrison to go see Wreck-It Ralph today. I couldn't wait, you know, to go see it any other time. I was like, I got to see it open weekend. So we went, and of course, Wreck-It Ralph is a story about Wreck-It Ralph. He's a video game character where kind of like Donkey Kong in a way, and he's in a game that's a mix between Donkey Kong and Rampage, where he's he's tearing up the building. The protagonist is Felix Jr. And he's got a skull.
I love the names.
Yeah, and he goes around and fixes it. And you know, they really make it believable that this could be a video game. And the cabinet looks like Donkey Kong, and it's really cool. And so anyway, he decides it's the 30th anniversary of the game. Ralph decides that he wants something a little bit more, and he goes out to try and get that. He wants a medal himself, because Fix-It Felix always gets a medal at the whenever he wins. So anyway, so he goes on, and they cross video game genres and all kinds of stuff. What's cool is I like one, the nostalgic feel. At the first opening shot, they kind of show this arcade, and they show the video game cabinet, and they start backing up, and it's like time clicks by, and you see those video game cabinets coming and going as they're going out of the arcade. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. And it also, you know, made me a little sad as well, because I'm seeing games like Star Wars, Food Fight, and all this other stuff.
You know, speaking of, we should throw in a little plug for the interview we just did that's coming out soon. We did an interview with
Ernest Klein, who wrote Ready Player One, which, you know, in some weird ways is kind of related, because he deals with a lot of video games in that book as well. So
yep.
But a couple of things I'll note is I liked the way the games are connected. They're all connected with their power cords, and in there's like a Game Central, and it's inside the surge protector. So so when you're inside the surge protector, you look over, of course, in the screen, and you can see where the prongs are coming in, you know, and that's how the characters go in and out.
Cute.
So we saw a lot of, whoa.
What?
My H2 stopped. That's all right.
You ran out of audio? Did you format it recently?
No, I still got time on it. It just says, please power off.
Okay. Well, I hope I captured all that audio. Otherwise, I got it on my end.
Okay. Anyway. So, I'm sorry. Where did I leave off?
Start with the prongs and the characters coming in.
Yeah, so you see all the prongs in the surge protector, and you know, characters can jump from game to game. It's kind of neat. And they all wait till the arcades close to be able to do that kind of thing. But
was this opening weekend?
It is opening weekend. So, but yeah, there's a lot of nostalgia, especially at the beginning. And the second half is in another fictional game. And so you're not overwhelmed with, oh, I saw that. Oh, I saw that. Oh, I saw that, you know, throughout the whole movie. And I really like that. So, anyway, I can totally recommend it for all of our listeners who are, you know, video game
junkies,
nostalgic,
yeah,
so
aficionados,
that kind of thing.
Awesome. So, scale of 1 to 5, 1 being save your money and don't even buy it on rental, to 5, go out and see it this weekend right now. What would you say?
I'd say about a 4.
Okay.
So 4, 4.5 maybe, because it's really good.
See it in the theater first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was good. Sound effects were awesome, you know, and kind of hang out when the credits just for a little bit. They have a little clip, and it's like the characters in the movie, they're all doing things in other video games, you know, and it's kind of fun.
Sounds good. Look forward to seeing it. We'll see if we can, maybe when Julie comes home, we'll watch it.
Yeah, you need to check that out.
All right. In the Geek Library, we have a couple of real quick things. One is a site that Craig turned me on to called IFTTT. It's called If This Then That is what it stands for. IFTTT.com. And how would you explain this site?
Well, it's almost like having cron jobs to do things for you.
it's event-triggered. It's not time-triggered. Yeah, it's event-triggered.
I was thinking more of the jobs type thing, you know, this site's plugged into APIs for a bunch of different sites. And
very
it also
well
reads
plugged
RSS.
In, by the way. You know, I might
They have APIs available for Gmail, Facebook, Evernote. Those are the big ones.
Goodness.
I use.
It's just RSS feed, you know, whatever you want. There's a whole bunch of social media sites and whatnot. So let's take an example. What you do is you set up a trigger, and then what you want to do with it when that trigger is tripped. So for our show notes, we'll start there since that's what we're familiar with. For the show notes, I get a lot of this stuff off of various RSS feeds, and I read it through Google Reader. So I set up what they call a recipe that says, if I star something in Google Reader, which is how I've been tagging them all along, then I want you to send that information, the name of the article, the link, maybe a short description, maybe the full description.
And you can't edit all that, too.
Yeah,
whatever you want
to send. You can change the recipe around or what it's sending, and send that to, we started out with Evernote. Make a new note, append to an existing note, whatever you want. Now I'm going to a Google Doc that we both share. So as we go through the link, or as we go through the week, these various links show up. What do I like? What do Craig like? We got to put a prefix on that so we know who's tagging what, but easy enough. Now we've got a really easy way to go through on Saturday, or in some cases Sunday afternoon. Here's everything that was tagged this week. Let's find the funniest of the funny, or what we think is funny, and put it all together. And we can even save the scraps for later in case we come up with some kind of theme. But
we have nothing to go on.
That right. It's been a dry week. We have those, and let's admit it. You know, see what we can find. Or some of us do. Slice things a different way and come up with it. It's really kind of cool. What are some of the other things people have done with this?
Well, let's see. I've got sticking several things into Evernote, of course. Well, you can go browse the recipes. They got a bunch of them. Star in Google Reader, send it to Pocket, which is a reader for iOS and
Android. Is posting to Facebook one of the actions?
I don't know about posting to Facebook. It may
be. That would be handy, because as I star things, I'd like to share them with a wider audience. Maybe we could put them in our
copy from Dropbox to Google Drive.
I don't know. I'd probably just install the local application and take care of that.
Yeah. New starred item uploads PDF. That's kind of weird. I don't know. There's all kinds of Twitter things. Like, not that I really favorite a lot of things in Twitter, but you can have it. If you favorite ones, go stick it in Evernote or wherever you want to put it.
Kind of a cool way of hooking a lot of these web services together. Yeah. I like it.
Here you go. Send photos from Dropbox to Flickr. So say if I have instant uploads turned on my phone and Dropbox sends it up, I can have it automatically pick it up and go to Flickr.
That's pretty cool. A lot of neat APIs in this, and a lot of pre-canned recipes that other people have come up with, so you don't have to craft these all yourselves. I was having an issue. I sent them an email for support. They got back pretty quickly, usually within about 24 hours, and they'll help you out. So, you know, I told them, thanks for the help. I'll give you a shout out on the show. There you go. Check out IFTTT. See if you can find something they already do and go, hey, that's a cool way of connecting these services together. It's a little different than, you know, like TweetDeck or Hootsuite, where you can post to different services at the same time. This is, like Craig said, you can even do this with pictures from a Dropbox folder to Flickr. You
know, here's another good example. I haven't used it a whole lot, but they will interface with your Google Talk. So I can, if Google Talk, then and there's some events I put in there, it'll send things to my calendar.
Oh,
so I could open it up and just type in the, you know how you do a, you can do a quick ad.
Yep.
You know, call so and so tomorrow at 10. You could do that in Google Talk, and it would.
Very neat. In there. Finally, in the Geek Library, we have Omni Magazine. We've talked about that a couple of times and how we've read it in the past. Yeah. I didn't realize how long they ran. I thought it was just like in the 80s. They ran well into the 90s. Omni Magazine
early
archives.
Early 90s. Yeah, it was like 95, I think.
Are now online over at archive.org. You can check them out year by year. And I thought that was neat. I also didn't realize, I guess I did. They didn't have a monthly issue so much as like a quarterly issue, almost.
Yeah,
three
it was
times
kind
a
of
year.
A yeah, it was kind of a weird schedule than normal magazines. But there's a lot of fiction in it.
It's kind of a good science to science fiction magazine, and hooking the two together. So yeah. I am going to go explore more.
And we were talking about this the other day. Why isn't this online? You know, ta-da.
It is now.
Somebody's listening to us.
You think?
Yeah, So that I'm actually gonna, nice. I'm gonna go grab a couple of them and start. I don't know if I can read every one of them, but I'm gonna start grabbing some. Maybe when didn't we have a I'll take the episode issue list, make a spreadsheet, and start crossing them off whenever I read them.
Like having your old subscription back.
Yeah, yeah.
If somebody is listening, we appreciate your support. Thank you very much. That's the end of the show. We'd like to thank you all. If you want to get in touch with us, call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. We did have one caller who thought the chat was a sex chat line. That is not correct. This is the Chuck chat line.
Oh, I didn't listen to that.
Oh, good thing, man. It was nothing but swearing and profanity that we were not what he was looking for. We were misleading and deceiving him in some way.
Well,
I'm
you know
sorry.
What? We get that a lot anyway.
Hey, if you're a podcast listener, you
should have played it.
You roll with the punches. Yeah, you would have had fun bleeping that in the editing, too.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, and we mentioned the Ernie Klein interview. Be looking for that later in the week.
Yeah, sweet. You can email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. If you got other people you want us to interview, let us know. We're always looking for new ideas and finding out what you're interested in. Again, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're also on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff. Go over to our page there, even Google+, and let us know what you think.
Yep.
We'd like to hear your feedback. Find it all on chuckchat.com/technorama. Thank you to all the people. This is the beginning of the month, and that's when a lot of the PayPal micropayments come in. Thank you very much for all the people who support us through that. If you'd like to help out with the show, just go over there. It's like $2 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee. Boy, that please. Makes us feel really degrading, doesn't it?
Please, please.
We are less than a cup of coffee.
Wait a minute. I was looking for my hat. I was going to hold my hat out.
Yeah, I've got the Alcatraz cup that I used for the blind NFL.
Put a coin in it and shake it.
Right. Please put money in the tip jar. Or, you know, if you have no money, go over and like us on the iTunes Music Store. And we would appreciate that very much. Special thanks to Mad Marv for providing all the great blog content during the week and the comments about the Lucasfilm thing. Thank you very much. Everyone who sent us links during the week, we appreciate that very much. We get a couple of those in the show wherever we can fit them. Like I say, they are fun to read. Send us technorama@chuckchat.com as you see funny things. You ought to just have a thing on there. If you star something on Google Reader, send us an email. How's that for fun?
I wish that said if they star it and it's so this kind of funny, you know,
tag
this much
it.
Funny.
You can tag then, things on Google Reader, right?
Yeah.
Thanks to those who joined us in the Hangout and the chat room. Tim Elliott, you rock, man. You are a diehard fan. Thanks for downloading and listening. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, give me a binary high five.
101.
Bye. Live long and expire. I'm gonna stop my